Blog Talk Radio.
Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana L. Bay, and today's topic is what is a real man? And we're going to be discussing that this evening and then shedding some light on that. And we're going to be coming from several different books this evening. And all three of these books are written by one author, and the author is Brother Naeem Akbar. And we'll be coming from Breaking the Psychological Chains of Slavery, also Visions for the Black Man, as well as Papers in African Psychology. And we're going to try to get down to the meat of the situation, and so that we can clearly define what a real man is and make all the necessary comparisons. So for those brothers out there that may be confused about some things, we're going to give you some tools to work with this evening. Also, before we get started, we're offering the same articles that we always offer here on this broadcast. For those of you who are trying to secure and proclaim your nationality, it is vital for you to understand the 14th Amendment exposed here in this country, and as well as the Commerce Game, so you will know what be going on and what you need to do in regards to proclaiming your nationality, why you should proclaim it, and what's all the background situation that is going on in the country, so that you will know how to deal with it successfully. The way you access that is simply by sending me an email to tahaka99@yahoo.com. That's T-A-R-A-H-A-K-A 99@yahoo.com. And I'll send that to you immediately as an email attachment. And you can print that out if you like, make multiple copies if you like. It's up to you. It just is simply sent to you by me in order to contribute to helping people understand what's going on inside the United States. And once you know, then you will know what to do, and you just simply follow the steps in dealing with it. Also, you can reach me by telephone at area code 904-303-9061 in regards to the archives that we had created. It's a personal library for you, and you access that by simply calling me at the above number. we're going to go ahead and delve on into tonight's topic. One more thing before we do that, I would like to say that on November the 24th, we will have a special guest in here, Brother Pleasant Bay, the author of one of the most controversial books in the United States, history of the United States, is called Noble Drew Ali, The Exhuming of a Nation. And he will be with us Thursday night. He's also written a new book. We'll get a chance to know more about that. And the title of that book is called The Book of Ali. So that'll be November the 24th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Brother Pleasant Bay, Grandmaster Teacher. So if you are tuning in to this broadcast, make sure, if you're planning to tune in, make sure that you have paper and pencil handy so that you can take notes, because the brother is going to be dropping some heavy information, and we need to have access to something that we can write with so that we can record and take the notes, and so that we will have references to deal with in our everyday lives. Without further ado, we're going to begin to answer the questions. I'm going to give you a formula that was given to me once in regards to the question of what is a real man. The formula is as follows. First, the man, the number one thing, a prerequisite for being a man is you have to have power. Okay. The second thing is you're going to have income. And the third thing is, of course, you're going to have a mate. Now, all three of these in that order, and that's very important. We got to do those in that order. First, you get the power. As a result of having the power, then you get the money, and as a result of having the money and the power, then you are ready to get the girl. The first thing that the man is going to do, he is going to take full responsibility for himself, prove to himself beyond any shadow of a doubt that he has qualified to take care of himself. That is one of the first prerequisites of being a man. A man is he's a self-starter. He has qualified with his own self first. The second thing is he's going to take responsibility for providing an income source for himself, okay, be it a career, a job. Preferably, he has created his own income from his own mind and brought it into existence, and it is unique, and it is something that he created, and something he's proud of because it is his own personal creation. And then he does not be concerned about getting a job. What he wants to do is a real man wants to get in a position to provide jobs for other people. Okay, now I'll be mentioning some people here this evening that maybe you are familiar with, and I want to use these gentlemen to examine them as men. We don't want to focus on the careers and the super fantasticism of these men. We just want to deal with the fact of their manhood, so, and use them, so to speak, as a model so that we will know what to do. Also, we want to deal with making the transformation from boy to man. And there's a process that we're going to have to use in order to get that. And we have a very, very serious problem here in the United States today, because we have a lot of young boys that just simply don't know. They don't have any male models to go by. And they come from our single-parent homes and what have you. And so we want to keep them in mind and make sure that we provide them with some information so that they will be able to successfully make the transformation from boy to man. Also, we want to deal with a man and his relationship with a woman and sex. And I'm going to start with that first, and we're going to get that out of the way, and so that we can have some clarity on that. First of all, there are three different things that Europeans say that they would never teach black people or people of African descent. The first thing is the science of business, okay, the science of business. The second thing is the science of warfare. And the third thing is the science of mating. Okay? And what we are doing, most of us, when it comes to the woman, the first thing that a lot of so-called men, males that are masquerading as men, think that a woman's only duty is to provide sex for the man, but that's simply not true. And I know, and for the brothers out there who are real men, I'm not talking to you. I'm only talking to the brothers that are masquerading as men, the brothers who can't quite make the transformation from boy to man, and these are the brothers that I'm talking to. A real man, he approaches a woman and deals with the woman first from the waist up, okay, opposed to the waist down. We want to make sure that we get that clearly understood. Okay, first thing he does now, let's go back and recap. The first thing he does is he wants to take responsibility for himself. And the second thing he does, he wants to prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that he's qualified to take care of himself. Then he wants to take responsibility for his income and to make sure that he has enough and he is qualified with himself in those areas. And then the third thing he's prepared to do is to take responsibility for a woman and their children, okay? And it's in that order. You don't get this equation mixed up, because if you do, then you're creating a disaster for yourself. You don't go get the woman to help you make the money, okay? You don't go get money to help you get the power, okay? So let's deal with power first. Power, we know, is knowledge. And when I say knowledge, preferably we want to make sure that we have a clear and concise understanding of our own identity. That's number one. We got to have an understanding of our identity. We got to understand that words such as black, Negro, colored, African-American, Afro-American, these are just titles. So we have to get clarity on our identity. And these titles were given to us by Europeans, so we want to make sure that we refrain from attacking them to ourselves and actually believing that these titles are us. It is simply not. It is something that is branded on you. And until we get back out from under these and get back to the original teachings of our own forefathers, we cannot make the necessary progress that we need to make in making the transformation from boy to man, from male to manhood. Okay? Now, the second thing is when it comes to the female, we have to understand her role. We have to understand that both male and female is powerful in their respective scopes. And a man can rise no higher than his woman. And so, therefore, she is a representative of him and a reflection of the relationship that he has with her. So, therefore, it is very, very important to the man and the success of a relationship that he has with her if he approaches that relationship and if he always approach her with respect. And the relationship has been built on the foundation of a mutual respect for each other. We have to understand that when it comes to being sexually involved, there is no loss of respect. Sex is not dirty. It is a necessary part for a relationship, whether you are having casual sex with your wife or your girlfriend, whether you are involved in actually being procreative and bringing a child into the world. So we want to understand that if we maintain a constant level of respect in a relationship and understand each other's scope of our power and position in the relationship, then we can have a successful relationship, and it's not just simply based on sex alone and operating from the waist down throughout the entire relationship. So I wanted to put that in there because this is something that men know and real men know. So those of you who are out there in the world, I just wanted to throw that out there. If you are trying to get some clarity on making the transformation, I wanted you to add that, make that a part of your relationship. And if you would do that, you would have a super relationship with your woman. Also, when you all are out in public, the reflection is still there. So you have to carry yourself, yourselves as a team, and you should never be insulted to one another. And if you have a disagreement, that is something that is between you and your woman. It should never be made a public display. And so that is also, we want to make sure that we deal with that also. Now, I want to deal with transformation for boy to man, and we are coming, this time we're going to read briefly from Visions for Black Men, and by the author Naeem Iqbal, and he says in the following, in on page 12 in this book, how do you get from being a boy to becoming a man? The thing that moves us from male to boy is discipline. That frees the boy from being the slave of his male. Learning to exercise control over oneself is transformation energy. The force that transforms a person from being a boy to becoming a man is knowledge. Okay? So that is brief and very clear to us to understand that, once again, if I told you step one is knowledge, you got to have the knowledge. And that's what power is. You get the knowledge first. So we want to start with knowledge of ourselves, knowledge of our culture, and our story. It's very, very important for us to have ingrained in our minds. If you are in college, university, if you're in junior high school and going to high school, or if you're in any type of school, if your culture is not being taught in that college or university or school, what you need to do is you need to invest in the books so that you can build you a library in your home. And that library is to not only provide you with the education that you're going to need to gain full power of self, but it should be something, a legacy that you can pass on to your children. It is very important for you and your mate to be on the same page, and you will discover that if you deal with the compatibility factors, that you can have the mate or someone that you are compatible with, you're both on the same page, you both enjoy the same things in life. And if you like studying and reading about your culture and history, excuse me, then she should embrace the same things. But if you're going one way and you're trying to do this and you're trying to be successful as a man and so that you can get in position, do something for your community and your people, then and she's going in the opposite direction, you have a serious problem, and you need to deal with that. Both of you need to be on the same page. Okay, so I just want to throw that out there because this is something that men have going on in their lives. We want to deal with something else, too, that a lot of men may not be aware of, and we want to take this directly out of papers in African psychology, and we're dealing with page 165, and it's known as the alien self disorder. We want to touch on that and shed some light on that, because if we can get some clarity on some things, maybe we can make some changes a lot quicker. So I want to put this information out there so that we can consider it and make it an integral part of study so that we can watch out for some things. The alien self disorder represents the group of individuals who believe contrary to their nature and their survival. They are a group whose predominant behavioral patterns represent rejection of their natural and culturally valid dispositions. They believe they have learned to act in contradiction to their own life and well-being, and as a consequence, they are alienated from themselves. These are the growing numbers of African Americans in recent years that have been socialized in families with primarily materialistic goals. They see themselves as basically material beings and evaluate their worth by the prevalence of material accoutrements which they possess. These families are usually preoccupied with materialistic goals, social affluence, and rational priorities to the exclusion of moral objectives. Okay? And the brother goes on to say, these alien self persons have been socialized to deny critical social realities, particularly as they relate to issues of race and oppression. They are encouraged to ignore blatant inequalities of racism and to view their lives as if slavery, racism, and oppression never existed. Okay, so I'm pretty sure that a lot of you have ran into people out there in the world that they live in a fine lifestyle, they drive a fine automobile, and when it comes to any issues involving their people in the pain and suffering of their people and their culture involving slavery, this is something that they don't want to deal with. They their attitude is, I'm above that. And so that is not that is something that we want to watch out for, and we want to remember to avoid being. And I just wanted to throw that out there, because they are brothers and sisters, and these people are calling themselves men as well. So I wanted to let you know that there was a different type that's calling himself a man, but he wants nothing to do with his culture. He's not after studying his story. He feels that his wealth and the material goods that he has is all he needs, and he doesn't even resemble, he doesn't sound like a man of African descent. He doesn't look like a man of African descent. He doesn't want anything to do with that. He feels that he is above that type of behavior, action, or lifestyle. So I just wanted to make sure that you understand that these particular brothers are out there, and we want to be aware of them. Now, let's deal with sports. Let's deal with a library in your home and these things. A man, the men, when it comes to sports, are either on the field making millions of dollars running up and down the field, or they own the team counting the gross receipts from the NFL. And everybody else is just cheerleader. And all too often I see a lot of men spend hours and hours looking at sports, and their conversation consists of a whole lot about men in the sports arena that's doing much, much better than them. And they can rattle off tons and tons of statistics about the average football player or basketball player or sports figure, but they have very little to say if you ask them about their culture and their story, which is very, very important, especially today, now that our nation is in shambles, and all of us should be trying to do something to learn something so that we can contribute to the uplifting of our people. So I just wanted to put that out there. A man spends more for his books than he does for his tennis shoes and his tennis racket. He spends more time with his family. And he has provided education for them, and he's concerned about what they are learning. He questions his children to determine what they are learning, and so that if there's anything wrong, that he can deal with it immediately. And that is what a man does. A man is the head of the household, and therefore he should act like it. And he act like it by interacting with the rest of the members of the household. And this is something that we as men got to start doing more of, and this because it is one of the prerequisites of being a man. Okay? Now, I'm going to come to you again from another section inside the Visions for the Black Man. And this time we're going to deal with another condition or something that we need to deal with immediately. It's very, very important that we deal with this as men. An example of a boy who is arrested in his development, we are talking about arrested development now, is one who has paid more for his stereo system than he has paid for books on his shelf. A boy is the adult who has more colored lights and party space than he has study space or workspace in his home. You are a boy when you pay more for your liquor than for your food, when your view of women is exclusively of someone to satisfy your various needs, then you are a boy. When you are preoccupied with someone to get back at, get over on, or get from, then you are a boy. When the primary use of your reason is for the purpose of scheming or lying, then you are asphyxiated in the boyish mentality. There is nothing wrong with the game as a means of disengaging or recreation. But when the game becomes a substitute for your life's plan, then you are still a boy. When other people are laying plans to rule the world and you are playing a card game, then your boyishness is an illness. When other people are writing books and you're shooting pool, then the game is a weapon against your progress and our progress as a nation. When you are interested in the football scores and other people are counting the advertising profits from the football game, then you have a boy's interest. When you spend 6 hours on the basketball court and 30 minutes in a library, then the game has become an excuse for suicide. We have a community full of boys masquerading as men, and as a consequence, the community is lacking in effective leadership. To change the condition of people of African descent, men of African descent, until we stop playing games and start dealing with the imperatives of a man's world, we will remain in real trouble. Many of the problems that we face in our communities can be understood as manifestations of this epidemic of boys who should be men. Okay? I just wanted to put that out there so that we would have a clear definition. I'm also asking you and encouraging you to go back and listen to this broadcast over and over until you get this information. I'm also going to ask that you purchase these books. I don't have any stock in them, but they are part of my personal library. And the one that we just got through reading from is Visions for the Black Man. And I think this is something, sisters, that you need to make sure that your young teenagers have as well. The other book is Breaking the Psychological Chains of Slavery. And, of course, the third book is Papers in African Psychology. And all three of these books is written by an author called Naeem Akbar, Ph.D. And you spell his name N-A-I-M-A-K-B-A-R, Naeem Akbar. Okay, so we want to get a hold of those books and add those to our libraries because he's a very, very good author, and he deals directly with the situation involving men. Now let's deal with the imageries and stuff and the things that a man have in his mind to get some clarity there as well. We'll come to you from Breaking the Chains of Psychological Slavery on page 52. Excuse me. Modern students and scholars of the mind have not adequately dealt with the influence of religious symbols and imagery on the thinking of people. Certainly ancient students of psychology, particularly those of the Nile Valley civilization in ancient Africa, devoted considerable attention to the significance of symbols and images on the minds of people. In fact, the massive symbols which stand as monuments of this great civilization, such as the Sphinx, the pyramids, and the obelisks, were constructed with the specific intentions of creating powerful and compelling images in the consciousness of people. Perhaps the European psychologist Carl Jung, in his distant exception to the European colleagues, as he devoted considerable discussion and theoretical speculation regarding the importance of symbols is general and the religious symbols in particular on the thinking of human beings. He argued for these for their relevance to psychological and mental well-being, and also identified the impacts of their absence or distortion. Jung did not, nor do any other European American psychologists, discuss the specific impact of these racial religious images on the psyches of black people. It is important to keep in mind that the image of God, which a people or person possess, will determine the potential limits of their minds. If people have a narrow image of God, then their minds are narrow. If people believe that the biggest reality is a tree, then that is the extent to which their mind can aspire. If one believes that God can be only as large as a river or a lake, then that is as large as the mind would be able to reach. Such an image prohibits you from conceiving the ocean which feeds the lake. And if you cannot conceive of the clouds which feed the ocean, your potential for understanding truth and the competence which comes from truth is limited. People with a limited or narrow concept of God then have an automatically limited and narrowed psychology. Okay, now we have dealt with in our past broadcast the concept of God as it exists inside the United States today. But my main point in bringing it out to you is the fact of imagery on the brain. And it is very, very important for us to, as men, to always be a positive image to those in our environment. When we are dealing with the people in our community, when we are dealing with our family members, we want to always make sure that we are conscious of how they perceive us, what their perception of us is. And we give the best perception when we perceive in our own minds our greatness. And we do that by making sure that we have the right information in our minds in the first place. We want to make sure that we have a great detailed display of information on our culture and our story, as well as history, his story in our minds, so that we can always deal from a position of what we are. If we are descendants of African people, then we should have an African mindset. When we are communicating with other people, we should deal from a position with an African mindset. If two men are sitting to a table and one man is black and the other man is white, and we are both holding a conversation with one another, we have to understand that when we are communicating with each other, that both of us are discussing any situation, even though we may be speaking the same language, we may be talking about the same thing. But we have to understand that we are communicating with one another from two different worldviews. And if you are of African descent, your worldview should be from an African position. Okay? All right. That way, the level of respect is maintained. There is no misconceptions about identity. And I just wanted to add that there so that we would have that and understand that, because all too often I see brothers in communicating with other people of other races, they even begin to sound like the other person. And it's, to me, that represents a complete loss of identity, or not having one in the first place in your mind. So the images that you hold in your mind is very important, and that goes along with rule number one of knowledge is power, which is the first step, first prerequisite to becoming a man in the first place. Okay, then we have what's called characters. Now, I look at these characters and I compare them to a deck of cards. I'm not a gambler, but I look at kings, jacks, and aces. Okay, now the king, and this brother here, he's the type of brother. The only thing that he wants out of life is a Cadillac and a diamond ring. That's it. I mean, you know, if he can appear to be successful, he's not concerned about having any knowledge, any power. He just wants to appear to be successful. And that is the gentleman that I'm referring to as a king. You may have run into that type. Also, then we have the brother. This brother here, he's referred to as the jack. Now, what the jack does is he falls in love, and he never gets back. I mean, his whole existence is about sex and the ladies. And he refers himself as a player. He's a ladies' man. And but if you ask him to tell you something about his own culture and his own history, or if you mention anything to him about Africa, he's lost. So that is the jack. But then now you have the brother who I'm calling the ace of spades. Now the ace of spades is a man. The man is well versed. He's responsible. Everybody looks at him as being a man, okay? He has a certain amount of physical strength as well as a mental strength. He has self-respect and dignity. He's well-respected in the community. He is very aware of how others perceive him, because he is careful by him knowing and keeping a good positive perception in his own brain about his own self, then he is easy and he makes sure that everybody else perceive him in the same manner. And that is the brother that I call the Ace of Spades. This is the brother who has successfully made the transformation from boy to man. He is not suffering from arrested development. He can be put on the same level as other great men. A man takes responsibility for himself and prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that he is qualified to take care of himself. That's step one. Then he takes responsibility for his woman and their children. The next thing that a man does, a man, M-A-N, not one masquerading as a man, but a man, is a man begins to do what he can to be a positive force inside his community. Okay? And he does that. That's the prerequisite of a man. Now, the next step is he wants to step outside of his community and be a positive force in the country, in the city and state and country that he lives in. And this is the characteristic of a man. Then the final thing that he wants to do eventually is step foot off the continent onto another landmass. And if you would check history, these are the basic mechanics of all real men. It was the mechanics of the brother Martin Luther King, Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali. The list goes on and on and on. W.D.B. Du Bois, Monroe Trotter, the list goes on. These are men. And so we have role models to go by. There are guidelines for us to go by. So, brothers, if you are having the problem making the transformation, if you thought you have made the transformation and you discovered tonight that you hadn't, it would be a good idea if you can get the autobiographies of some of the most successful black men in our history and to study these role models. And you want to pass that on to your sons and your daughters so that they can study them as well and imitate them as well, so that we can step up and be up to snuff as men and as women in this country. So now I want to go on here now, and we are going to deal with, let's deal with the process. There is a process to transformation, and we're going to deal with that now, and we're going back to our vision for the black man, and we're on page 2 this time. It says, transformation is a process which characterizes the entirety of the universe around us, and it is an implicit part of the human possibility. The only difference is that the caterpillar will either have to become a butterfly or die. One of the things about the larva of the bees is that it either has to become a bee or it will die. One of the interesting things about the human being is that he can stay a worm forever and appear to be thriving from be a thriving form of life. We never have to become human butterflies to appear alive in this world. One of the things that is unique about the human being is that he has an option that either he will be or not be. If he chooses not to be, he can die proudly as a slimy, hairy worm. The point of our discussion is that we need to understand that we all have the potential to be butterflies. Knowledge is the key to getting where we need to go. The human being is actually transformed by what he knows, not passively by just the potential for what he knows, okay? So that means, brother, that we will actually have to do the study. And I always encourage brothers to put aside time out of your daily activities to do a certain amount of study. Make it a ritual to do that. And see if you can go through a certain amount of books per month. And if you do that, then you will end up with a self-education from your side of the story, because your story is not being broadcast in the media. It's not on television and all of this stuff. So we can't allow that to stop us. We have to do something ourselves change that. And we do that by investing in the books and making sure that they are in our homes, and not only in our homes, but they are the books that we are actually using during our lifetime. And and it's available to our kids. So if you see your son and your daughter picking up one of the books, you want to be able to hold a discussion with them about that. Okay? And I just wanted to put that out there so that we will be able to deal with that. All right. Now, we have dealt with the Arrested Development, and we're going to go on to this book here. I think we've already done that on page. Yes, we've already done that. And now we're going to go to number 47. Oh, yeah. Okay. We'll go to 47 because this is a very, very important piece of information I wanted to lay on you as well, so that we will have this under our belts as men. And what we're going to discuss now is we are, as people of African descent, we have to keep in mind that we are the original peoples on the earth, and we are the fathers of civilization itself. And so we are going to have to make the necessary changes, because the rest of the world, we have to understand, is familiar with our ancient history. We have been in their lands, they have seen our greatness, and they have passed on this information about us to their children. Even though they may appear to be silent, and you may think they know nothing about you, but I can assure you that they do. And so we want to make sure that we have that information. So what we're going to deal with now is it's on page 47 in Visions for the Visions for the Mind. It says, we are the fathers of civilization. If the location of the originators of the world, most progressive and influential philosophers, was the continent of our origin, and then we have played a significant role not only in the evolution of human consciousness, but in the evolution of what is known as religious or philosophical consciousness. We must understand that if there are a people who we must be identified as the fathers of civilization, as the fathers of conceptualization, as the fathers of science, as the originators of humanity, as the patriarchs of the human race, then we are it. Is anybody that's that, it is us. So now, to me, that is a tall order right there. And the best way to reach those levels and to present ourselves in that light, we have to keep that in mind of our ancient origins. We have to have that knowledge of our ancient greatness, because if we are descendants of great people, and then it stands to reason that we want to still exercise our greatness today. We want to be able to not only recite about the great things that we did yesterday, but we want to get in a position so that we can do some of the same great things that our ancestors did yesterday as well. And that all comes about by study. Okay? Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to I'm going to stop here for a second. For those of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to Morris Talk Live 100, and today's topic of conversation is what is a real man? And we'll want to answer that from every conceivable angle. We're coming to you from three different books, and the books were written, however, by one author, Brother Naeem Akbar, and we want to offer, again, if you're just tuning in, our free articles. You simply reach me at Tahaka99 for that, Tahaka99@yahoo.com. That's Tahaka99@yahoo.com, and I'll send that to you as an attachment. You just simply say, well, Tahaka, I want your free articles that I heard in the broadcast, and I'll get it to you immediately. And also, we have created one of the most comprehensive libraries in the United States. And the way you access that is simply by contacting me at area code 904-303-9061. And we will discuss that and so that we can get that to you. I would like to say congratulations to all the brothers and sisters inside the United States who currently have their archives in the home. And I know that you are doing well and your family have a battery to draw from because there are hundreds of articles in there on everything under the sun. So I know that they are able to defend themselves inside the public school systems when the teachers are attempting to give them something. I want to touch on some things today, and that's very, very disturbing to me about brothers. And a lot of times I see the brothers, they're walking around, and they have their pants hanging down below the waist and underneath the butt. And I've been asking questions about this phenomenon, and I mean it's all over the city. I mean every time I look around, here comes a young man holding up his pants. I mean his pants. I mean this is something that I cannot comprehend because I guess because all my life the only thing that I've ever known ever seen a man do is to wear his pants around his waist. With a belt on. To me, that is a man. And for those brothers that's out there that's doing that, that may be listening to this broadcast, I want you to understand something. You can be the first one to come in with a new trend. If everybody in the community know that you are a brother that have been wearing your pants around your waist, and so why don't you be the first one in your community among your buddies to start wearing your pants around your waist and with a belt on and let them know that you're in the process of making the transformation from boy to man because that's part of it. I know no man, not no real man, that's walking around in the streets with his pants hanging down below his butts, got one hand holding up his pants and he's walking along, swinging his arm, the other arm, freely, but why he holds up his pants, I can't understand that. I've been asking the brothers, why are you doing it? Is this some type of ritual? Is there something that you're going to accomplish by doing that? And if it is, could you please tell me what it is so that I would have an understanding? And a lot of times I see women out in stores with these young men dressed like that. And I look at them in unbelief and shock because I'm trying to figure out how this has become acceptable to the black woman among our own sons. And this is something that's difficult for me to understand. But I just wanted to put that out there and let you know that you could turn this thing around and you could be the first young man in your community to go back to wearing his pants around his waist. That'll be brand new. And you can set a brand new trend by doing that. So if you consider making the transformation from boy to man, you can start there. And I'm sure that will be one of the most important things that you can do in making your transformation is to start right there around your waist and break this chain of things that's going on in this country among young black men, okay? Because it says here in Visions for the Black Man here, coming into boyhood, it says the next stage in the transformation from the biologically bound definition of male is the development of the boy. What is it that moves us from the male to becoming a boy? The movement is determined by the development of discipline. Discipline transforms passion into a fuel reserve for self-determined action. The thing that begins to control the dependent, passive, passion-driven creature into a creature of greater deliberation and higher expression is the introduction of discipline. So that is a key factor young men, if you are listening, discipline, and you want to set up some standards for yourself, set up some guidelines for yourself, and be conscious of these guidelines and standards, and don't break these things. Manage control, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to move from one level to another level. And so in order to do that, you're going to have to prepare go from that level. One other thing before we go, I wanted to touch on, we have about 9 minutes left on this broadcast, and I want to go back to the relationship between men and women. Fellas, a woman, in a lot of cases, especially a woman who is a real woman, she can determine a man right away. It's very, very difficult to fool a woman. If you're not a man, sooner or later, she's going to know it. So it's very important for you, before you approach a woman and try to lead her to believe that you are a man, make sure that you are one, because sooner or later, she's going to know. And you don't want her to become disenchanted with you and begin to think that, wait a minute, I thought I had something, but now I know that I don't have anything. So I just wanted to make you aware of that first. Before you approach a relationship with a woman, now, I'm not talking about a girl. I'm talking about a woman, because tonight we are talking to the men, and we are talking to the males, and we are talking to the boys, okay, and making the transformation from male to boy, and then from boy to man. Ladies and gentlemen, the clock is on the wall. Says this is all it's time for me to end this broadcast, and I hope that I have shed some light on some things for you in regards to what it looks like to be, what it's like to be a real man. And we can recap one more time. A man takes responsibility for self. First, he gets the power, which is knowledge. The second thing he does, and in this order, then he gets the income, and then the third thing he does, then he gets the girl. He takes responsibility for self to prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that he's qualified to take care of himself before he approaches anything else. And then he's in a position to take care of a woman and their children. The next thing he does, he sets his eyes on his community. He wants to be carry a positive self-image at all times. He is never going to do anything to shed any negative light on himself. If you know young men are watching him, he wants to be a role model. He doesn't want to cuss out in public. He doesn't drink in public. He's not a gambler. He doesn't present any vice to anybody. And he wants to be seen working and carrying himself with a good, positive, strong self-image. If he is involved in his spiritual side, because he does have a spiritual side, and we haven't touched on that this evening, but I'm only dealing with the man aspect. A lot of times I run into sisters, and it's odd to me, and the sisters say that, well, I'm looking for a real man. And I ask these sisters, I say, are you looking for a real man? And, yes, I want a real man. I say, well, sister, aren't you a member of a church? And they say, well, yes, I'm a member of a church. Do you have any men in the church? Yes, they are. I said, well, there you go. And she says, I'm not interested in them. So she's not, what she wants first is she wants a man, okay? And then if he, first, that's the first thing she wants. And then if he is spiritual person, okay, that is okay. But the first thing a woman wants is a man first, and a man in every sense of the word. And that's something that she can safely trust in. That's something that she can love, and that's something that she can lean on. A man takes care of his woman. If she's sick, he heals her. He doesn't go out and get another man to do that job. If something breaks down in the house, he looks at it, and the first thing he considers is fixing it. And if he can't fix it, and he knows that if he tries, it's going to create a problem, then he goes out and gets some means of getting the job done. You've been listening to Haka Amana El Bay, and until next time, brother.